This podcast is presented to you by Passion Church, the DeSoto County campus, the fun church in Horn Lake, Mississippi. For more information, visit us at www.mypassion.church.
Well, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It sounds like my nose is a little stopped up, so I sound like Forrest Gump today. I gotta find Bubba, you know. Troy dared me, I wouldn't say that, so there you go. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. How many is excited about getting into the Word of God? I mean, it's living. It is powerful. It will touch your life every time you do. You say, I read that book before. This book is alive. It is fresh for you today. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need. Say, everything we need. He's given us everything we need for living a godly life. So all the tools are in place. Everything that you need to overcome in this life and to accomplish God's purpose for your life is already laid out before you. It's already given to you. God has equipped you to overcome. Look at your neighbor and say, you're an overcomer. Get with the program. Don't say that part. No. We have received all of this by coming to know Him. And we know that, right? Yes. It's getting to know Jesus. It's a personal relationship. You could go to some church for 50 years and sit on the pew and not have a personal relationship with Jesus, and you could just be like a knot on a log. Your heart never changes. Nothing. I mean, it isn't just the Logos, it's the revelation that God wants to share with you. It's the Rhema Word of God that He wants to instill in you to lead your personal life, because His Word is alive and your relationship with Jesus must be alive. It's coming to know Him, the one who called us. You see, you're called. Not me, I'm just existing, you know. I just work down at the Rite Aid or something. No. That may be where you work, but you are called. Called of God. Well, I'm not called to the fivefold ministry. I didn't say you was. There's certain people called to the ministry, but you are nevertheless called. You are called by His name. That enough should make you to resurrect your life. And tell you, I need to get my act together. I need to live a godly life because people know that I'm a Christian, and that carries weight. And you're called, the one who called us to Himself by the means of His marvelous glory and excellence. Anybody ever read the story of Jonah? It's in the Bible. You ought to read it. It's four little chapters. Jonah was a young man full of potential. And he called himself a man of God. He understood that he served the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so he was ready, man. He was full of life, full of potential, full of a calling on his life. Just like many of you. And so, God actually speaks to Jonah, said, Jonah, I want you to go to the city called Nineveh and preach to them because I've heard bad things and I want to see if they will repent. Well, God's always in the repentance business. That's what He's doing, you know. That's why He came. And so, no, Jonah said, No, like many of us when we were young, right? We knew there was a call on our life. We knew God existed. Maybe some of us not so young. Maybe some of us are still running. But Jonah didn't go to Nineveh. Jonah got a boat ticket to go to Tarshish, the exact opposite way, like he's going to hide from God. Do you know that don't work? There's nowhere you can go that God's not, and then he won't see you. And it ain't like you're going to defeat God. It ain't like, you know, some of us thought that when we were young, well, I know God wants me to live for him and to do this or that and to get involved in the church, and he's going to show me where I'm supposed to go. But you know, it's so much more fun to do these other things. Some of us were just scared out of our wits, you know, God would use me. You know, some of us are not mentally prepared that God would use us. And so Jonah heads off in the wrong direction, like many of us. It's almost like the calling sent him off in the wrong direction. And so he's sailing away like he's just going to be scot-free from the worry of what God has to say. I'm not listening, I'm not listening. Have you ever played that game with God? You know God's telling you, I'm not listening, God, I'm not listening. And so he's on this boat. But like I said, you can't outdo God. God knew where he was, and God sent this terrible storm in the ocean where this boat is. It was so bad that the ungodly people on the boat were fearing for their lives, and they were throwing over the cargo and everything to lighten the boat so it wouldn't sink. And they were freaking out, and they started praying to their gods. And their gods weren't even real. But at least they were trying to do something, you know. They were calling out. They knew they needed help in this stormy sea called life. And they found Jonah down below in the cargo hold. He's asleep. Isn't that strange? That the only truly godly man with a calling on his life is in the cargo hold of the ship asleep when the world is about to go under. When the world is drowning, he's asleep, running from his calling. And so they woke him up and they said, Jonah, pray to your God. See, they thought many gods, if you prayed to all of them, you surely get the right one eventually. And see if he'll help us. And Jonah says, well, I'm going to be honest with you. The God I serve is the only true God. He's the God who created the sea and the land and the stars, everything. He's the real God. They said, well, all the more pray. I don't know if he did or not. But the next thing you know, they're praying, and it ain't getting any better. And so they drew lots to see who's causing this. Surely something is, it's got to be something bad going on for this to be happening. And the lot went to Jonah, and they said, you're the guy. You're the one that you're causing all this trouble. So they prayed some more, still nothing. Then they came back to Jonah and said, Jonah, I'm sorry, dude, but you got to go. Because Jonah had told him, if you throw me off the ship, then things will go back normal. I'm the one. Jonah knew it. Have you ever felt like that? Man, I'm the one because I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And so they got Jonah and they choked him off the ship. But God was prepared. God had done all. And as soon as Jonah left the ship, the wave stopped. God was just dealing with this one man. Do you know God will chase you to the farthest ocean to deal with you? And to say, hey, wake up. The ship's going down and I need you to be preaching that you know that I'm the true God and they don't. It was so amazing that when the waves stopped so suddenly when they threw Jonah off the boat that all the other people on the boat that didn't know the true God, they said, let's pray to Jonah's God. Now, God had prepared a great fish. I don't know if it was a whale or what, but it swallowed up Jonah. And the story goes that he's in the belly of the whale or the belly of the great fish for 3 days. And many of you are probably checking out about right now. You're saying, yeah, that just sounds like a fairy tale. That's why I don't believe some of the stories in the Bible are true. I just think they're just, you know, they're just making them up. Well, you're in the right place today, because I want to tell you, if God could create the ocean, if God could, with the words of his mouth, create all the fish in the ocean, if he could create the stars of heaven, if God says, I want a fish to swallow a man and to keep him alive for 3 days, I think he could do it. Amen. I am amazed at how many people that think our God can't do miracles. Well, you know, the whales, they're throat's not big enough to actually swallow a guy. And if he got in there, he would drown, or he would... Not if God's in control. Have you heard, they used to say that, I saw a history show or some history channel or something, they said that where Moses crossed the Red Sea, it was really only ankle deep water that time of year. And there was a preacher who jumped up and he said, well, praise God, that's even a bigger miracle, because God drowned all of Pharaoh's army in ankle-deep water. Listen, it's time we come up in our thinking. Our God is able to do whatever our God wants to do. Stop questioning the miracles and stuff, and just believe. He is able. That's our job as believers. Believe. Where was I at? Anyway, Jonah was in that fish. Last week, we talked about how rough it is down here in the in-betweens. Remember, from the moment we give our heart to Jesus until the day we go to be with Jesus. This is the hard part. This is the valley of the shadow of death. And life is hard in this sin-ravaged, broken world. Now, some people, they wonder, you know, why does bad things happen to good people? And why do good things happen to bad people? Why is things not fair? Isn't God in control? Yes, he is. But this period of time is the valley. And what was I going to say? Things happen. And we tend to blame God on everything, right? If anything bad happens, God, why'd you let this happen to me? Why'd you cause this? Well, first of all, there is a devil down here. And Jesus said his job, he comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. So the devil is your enemy, so you have an enemy down here. Then we live in this ravaged, sin-broken world where there's time, space, and dimension. You say, well, why did my loved one die in a car wreck? It's because two cars hit at the same place at the same time, and it caused a collision. Those are the facts down here. For this time period that God gave us dominion over the world, that's the way it's going to be. But we gave our dominion to the devil, and the sin began to make this old earth creak and groan and long for the revelation of the sons of God. So why don't we become the sons of God so that we can get wrap this up and all go to heaven, you know? So there's time, space, and dimension going on. Just things happen. And then there's the devil. What else is there? There's sin. There's sin. You see, from the beginning, God said the wages of sin is death. It's built in. You think because you do something wrong and bad results happen from you doing something wrong, that's God punishing you? I think it's just built in. The sin itself, whatsoever man sows, that will he also reap. You sowed it. Stop blaming God. You should give God glory for all the times that he has mercy on you and covers you, instead of blaming him for the times that you got yourself into it, right? And there's another level for us believers. You know, the world, they have these working against them, but they don't have the power of God, but we do. But we also, as believers, we have God's correction for our insurrection. When we do something wrong, God doesn't let us get away with it like he used to before we called ourselves by his name, right? Now we're his children. He has a responsibility to father us. Sort of like what happened to Jonah. God said, go to Nineveh. Jonah went to Tarshish. God chased him down. Said, no, you don't. Has anybody ever experienced that? You know you're going the wrong direction, and God won't leave you alone. You know why that is? Because Proverbs 3:12 says, for the Lord corrects those he loves. That means he loves you. And parents, if you don't correct your children, you don't bring them up in the ways of the Lord, you're just trying to be their friend, you don't punish them when they do wrong. If you don't punish them, if you don't discipline them now, the world will discipline them later. It's a sign of love. The rod brings correction when, handled in the right way. For the love corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. And I have seen many people that confess Jesus as Lord, but that are heading towards Tarshish, They are the most miserable people on planet Earth. And the times that I have found myself dabbling in something I ain't supposed to, man, my heart's beating 100 miles an hour, and it's like, I can't even enjoy this. It is the worst place to be running from God. I always tell people, never run from God, run to God. So as believers, we have power, though. We have power in the in-betweens that we didn't have back in the back befores. We have God's Spirit to help us overcome sin and avoid God's correction. We don't have to head in the wrong direction. We have the power to stay on course. God's love will keep us on course. Romans 6:6 says, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. When I was a sinner, I kind of liked sinning. Sinning is pleasurable for a season until payday comes. When you sin, it's because your flesh wants it. But now that I've been crucified with Christ, I understand what happened for my sake, and God's Spirit has come into my heart. Sin has lost its luster, its grip on me. Can I sin? Yes. But I have to override a lot of things to do it now. And it's not as fun as it used to be. It says, we are no longer slaves to sin. Before I knew Jesus, I was a sinner, and by nature, I sinned. And so when you see somebody that doesn't confess Jesus as Lord and they sin, don't think it's strange. That's what they do. We're not here to say you shouldn't do that. We're not here to say if you did this over here, then this wouldn't happen. That's not what we need to tell them. How to put a Band-Aid on a gaping wound? No, we got to tell them you need Jesus. We don't correct the behavior so they're better sinners on their way to hell. We gotta lead them to Jesus. And so as believers, we have died to sin. We're no longer slaves to that which used to control us. Our own urges used to control us. I wanted to be a good person, couldn't be a good person. You know what I mean? Does anybody have that experience? I certainly did. And so why would I want to go back to slavery now? If a slave is set free, there were times where a slave might say, my master was good to me. My master treated me well. I have it good here. I want to stay. And they could stay with that master. But let me ask you this. Was the devil a good master to you? Do you think he was looking out for your best interest? Or was he trying to kill, steal, and destroy you? None of us want to go back. Our flesh does. You see, we still live in this flesh. But we should be controlled by the new spirit. You see, every day, to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. So every day I choose life and peace. Every day I try to choose life and peace. Right? Romans 6:22 says, "But now you are free from the power of sin and become slaves of God." I got a good master now. One who cares about me, brings me life and life more abundantly. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Today's message is entitled Part 1, From Fish Food to Fishermen. And the new series is entitled Sanctified. Put that logo up, Sanctified. I couldn't help myself. I had to. So the new, it's talking about, last week we talked about, you know, the in-betweens. And so I thought, let's discuss it a little more. Let's learn how to overcome the obstacles that we face in this life. And one of the main ones being sin, of course. The one we can control the most, probably. So I've got several things written down, and I'm pretty sure we're only going to get to two of them today. But that's good. One of them is a big, big, big one, and that tool that helps us overcome sin is the Holy Spirit himself. The Holy Spirit himself. That's why Jesus said, it's better that I go away, because if I go away, I will send the Holy Spirit, and he will come live in you. He is a constant help in time of need. He is there for you at all times. I wish if we could simply get the American church to understand that God is actually on the inside of us, I think we could straighten out a whole bunch of wrong thinking. There's a scripture says that the same power that raised Christ from the dead that we celebrated last week in the resurrection now dwells in our mortal bodies. So last week we celebrated Jesus' resurrection and our resurrection, didn't we? And that resurrection power is alive on the inside of us. Maybe you're here today and say, I have slipped, Pastor. I've fallen back into some old things that I used to do. And it seems like my flesh is taking control. Well, that same power is still on the inside of you. Have you talked to the Holy Spirit? Do you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? It would be kind of weird if I had somebody on the inside of me and we went everywhere together, but we never spoke. We never talked. And that's the way it is with many Christians. They don't understand that God's Holy Spirit, he is a person, the person of the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of you. And he is the power that will raise you to a new life that you long to live. The Bible also says that by the Holy Spirit, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. That love, the love of God has come here. You know, before I was saved, I could only love Angie up to a point, to where it benefited me. But when it stopped benefiting me, my love fell off a cliff, right? Because it was selfish love. But when Jesus came into my heart, then all of a sudden, I love her with an unconditional love. I care more about her than I care about myself. And that kind of love, and you see Jesus, the expression of God's love hanging on that cross. It says, when you see him high and lifted up, he'll draw all men to him. You see him up there, what he did for you. That love in my heart makes it very difficult for me to sin, because I know that my sins were placed on him at Calvary. He paid for it. But it's my sins that I committed in the past, my sins that I commit today, and the ones that I will commit in the future were all laid on Christ. And my love for him makes me not want to think that I put so much on him. Does that make sense? My love for Angie makes me not want to do things that hurt Angie, right? And my love for God that's in my heart now makes it very hard for me to just override all the checks in my spirit and go back into slavery with the enemy. We're not just talking about, you're talking about the mortal enemy of us and our God. It's treason, really. So the Holy Spirit also convicts us of sin. He convicts the world of sin. That's how you got saved in the first place. You said, uh-oh, my life is not going in the right direction. I can feel it. There's got to be more. That was the Holy Spirit drawing you. And that's how you came to faith in Jesus. He reached out to you. He chased you down. That he's convicted your heart, and you said, I got to have Jesus. Jesus said also, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things that I have said unto you. Bring all things to your remembrance. So the Holy Spirit is always reminding us of the Word of God. And the Word of God brings such correction. You know, before I got saved, I didn't know that it was sinful to do this or that. It just seemed fun. I didn't realize all the people I were hurting by my sinful lifestyle. I didn't realize why all these wages were kept coming back to me and slapping me in the face. But now, the Holy Spirit brings that Word of God alive. Remember I told you that book is alive? The Holy Spirit in you is able to get on that same wavelength with the Word of God and bring it alive, make it rhema. That's a Greek word that means the revelation of God's word in your heart. It makes it personal to you. So he convicts you of sin. Where am I at? He teaches us the word. He shows us what's good and what's wrong in our life. And then he gives us a way of escape. Have you ever been about to sin and you know it's sin? And you're like, I don't care. My flesh wants what it wants. I'm fixing to do this. And then the phone will ring or something. All the time. Man, it is so hard for me to sin. I mean, it's just like obstacle after obstacle to stop me from sinning. I'm like, all right, Holy Spirit, forget it. I just won't even do it, you know. I was going to watch that, but I'm not watching it now, you know. Whatever the case. I was going to eat that, but no, fine. I just want, you know, you don't want me to, fine. He gives us a way of escape. If a believer sins now, you have, like I said, you have been blind to all the things God is trying to do to say, that's not you anymore. That's not your master anymore. Don't do that. And like I said, his presence with us, just knowing that the Holy Spirit is inside of me makes me, I can't watch that. I can't go there. I can't drink that. I can't smoke this. I can't be on these drugs. I can't do that anymore. Because the Holy Spirit is with me. Now, that's because we don't realize he's there. If Jesus came down in the human flesh and walked with us everywhere we went, we'd be so conscious of saying the wrong thing or doing the wrong thing. We wouldn't want Jesus. Man, I don't want Jesus. But the Holy Spirit is there. And the Bible says that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. That means he's just disappointed. Why are you doing that, son? Come on. You put that down years ago. My daughter, you know what I taught you about how beautiful you are. Why are you doing that? Why would you Why would you do yourself like that? You're hurting me. You're grieving me. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit who loves us so much. And then I wrote down, once we begin to produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You see, walking after God and letting His Spirit control us and have His way, we begin to produce fruit of the Holy Spirit. And y'all have seen that in Galatians chapter 5, right? I think around verse 22 or something like that. So who can quote the fruit of the Spirit? Joe, you got it? Peace? I know you know it, Nicholas. Say it.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control.
Did y'all hear that? She said no. Say it louder.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control.
That, man, if I had all those things in my life, I can have all those things in my life. That is the result of simply listening to the promptings of the Holy Spirit and being obedient. How many of you wants to overcome sin? I know you don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I know you don't want to go back into slavery. So why are we talking about this? When we got saved, wasn't that the end of it? I mean, we was buried in baptism with Christ. You know, the sin's gone, right? Still available. God will never take your free will away. So we need to continually stay in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And I believe if some of us would stay with it long enough to begin to see some of these fruits come out, that peace, that joy, that love, you see relationships changing around you. You see everything. You just feel better about yourself. You just sleep good at night because you're a different person following the Holy Spirit. The fear and the anxiety and the worry and the darkness of looking at these things that the world is offering. You know, Jesus says, if my eye be full of light, my whole body will be full of light. If my eye be dark, my body will be full of darkness. And how great is that darkness? The eye is the lamp of the soul. I don't know why I'm saying this. Maybe it's for somebody. But we got to keep our eyes pure. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus and follow the Holy Spirit. We'll begin to produce this fruit, this beautiful, beautiful fruit. Romans 8:2 says, and because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Isn't it good to be free? When we sing songs about freedom, we shout, I'm free, I'm free. Freedom in Christ. It is for freedom that He has set us free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We long to be free. Our souls long to be free. What you're saying is, I long to be free from the darkness of this world and my ex-slavery to sin. I don't have to be that anymore. Just activate the Holy Spirit in your life. Give Him permission to take control. Like I said, you got free will. You can override and grieve. Or you can get on the ride and leave. I don't know where that comes from. But activate the Holy Spirit in your life. Joe, you like that? That was good. It just came to. Okay. So Jonah was in the whale, right? The big fish. Thank you for correcting me. The big fish. He was in there 3 days. Just like Jesus was in the tomb 3 days. And so Jonah said, you know, I don't like how my life has turned out. Yeah. Look what where my decisions have led me. I'm running away from God, and God's not letting me run any further. He's got me cooped up. Maybe some of you feel like you're in the belly of a whale, you can't get out. Well, maybe we need to check and say, have we been running towards God or away? And he's stuck in the belly. So what does he do? He repents. He finally comes to the end of himself, says, I can't outrun God. I can't outdo God. I can't hide from God. I don't even know why we would want to, but God, I'm sorry. There's a whole chapter in the Bible of Jonah telling God, I'm sorry. You only have the best plan and purpose for my life, and look what I've done. And guess what happened? God had the great fish spit him up on the bank and said, Jonah, I think it's time you head to Nineveh. And so Jonah jumped up and said, you know what, God? He's wiping the seaweed off and the whale slobber. I think I'll go to Nineveh. And so he went to Nineveh. Jonah repented. 1 John 1:8 says, if we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. So we're all tempted to sin. We all have the power to overcome sin, but not always do we do that. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Probably the first scripture I teach to people at the jail after they get saved. Okay, now that you've given your heart to Jesus, there'll come a day where you'll do something dumb, and the temptation, the devil will say, oh, you messed it up. Run, 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 run from God. Nope. Never run from God, run to God. All you need to do is confess your sins, and God will forgive your sins. I've even heard what I call sloppy agape, greasy grace. Some churches are teaching that we don't need to ever repent because, you know, our sins were forgiven on the cross. And now for us to even bring up our sins before God is an abomination to him, and he don't want to hear it because you're just saying you don't have faith that he forgave your sins. Well, that almost sounds like it could make sense. But it doesn't work in real life. The truth is this. Yes, when Jesus said it is finished, positionally, your sins were forgiven once and for all time. Positionally, right now, you're seated with Christ in heavenly places because God knows the end from the beginning. But right now, in the in-between, we're down here in the valley. And right now, for the relationship's sake, when I sin against God, I need to acknowledge it. And I need to confess it so that nothing separates me and God. Yes, if I sin today and I die as a Christian, I'm still going to heaven. That sin's on your account. That's it. Jesus' blood wasn't big enough for that last one that you didn't confess. No. All my sins have already been forgiven. But because I love him and I don't want anything between us, I live a life of repentance. Hopefully not have to do it so much. But I do. When I sin, I confess my sins. And guess what he does? He forgives and forgets. And he cleanses us. That's important. Because some of the filth that we get on ourselves through our sin needs to be cleansed. God, take that from my mind. Don't let me think about that anymore. Right? So that is another benefit. So Jonah, he finally gets to Nineveh. And this young man, full of God's gifts and anointing, preaches in Nineveh and says, guess what? God's judgment's coming here in 40 days if y'all don't repent. Well, they listened. And all these people in this city, especially the king, heard that what Jonah was saying. He tore his clothes. He sat in sackcloth and ashes, and he commanded that nobody eat or drink for 3 days. He said, let's repent before God that God might not bring on this judgment against our city. So you know what I see in the story of Jonah? I see a boat full of people who don't know the true God. But they're praying to somebody. They know there's somebody, and they're praying to the gods that they've been told about. And they're perplexed that there's a young man of God here that knows the true God, but he's not even praying. He's sleeping. And there's a whole city, an ungodly king, who, when they hear the word of the Lord, take it seriously and want to repent. They want to repent. Show me how to be right with God. And so they do, and guess what? God sees their heart, and the whole city is saved because Jonah finally got to that place he was supposed to be, called God's will for his life. He simply let God use him where he was supposed to be. So the whole city repents. And you would think Jonah would be, mighty man of God, hallelujah, look at me, got the whole city saved. I'm going to be a preacher here. I'm going to start a church. You know, he should be excited about this. He goes up on the mountain and pouting. Oh, God, that's why I didn't want to come here in the first place. I knew you was going to get all those people saved. You know, I think God could have left a few things out of the Bible. That is not the end of that story that I expected. But you know what? People are people. And God leaves in the ugly stuff. Jonah was up there mad at God for saving the people. And you think to yourself, what did he think to yourself? I wrote it down. Jonah had changed just enough to get out of trouble. Have you ever found yourself in that position where you're only saying you're sorry to God and I'll do this, God, if you'll do that? You start bargaining with God and all these things, only trying to do just enough to get by. I would say Jonah had a lot more work left to do in his life, right? So what did God do? Did he strike him down? No. He kept continuing to work with Jonah. How many of you would be honest, and I know I've got my hand held the highest, you would say, God's got a lot of work left to do in me about my motives, about my attitude, about the direction, all these kind of things. I have not arrived. I have not arrived. I need a lot of repentance, and I need a lot of the Holy Spirit. Is that you? God is trying to bring each of us from fish food to fishers of men, because there's a world out there longing for this message. They're praying to they don't know who. They're being tossed. They can tell that their life is about to go under. They're ready to repent, sackcloth and ashes. You might have the words that saves an entire city. Don't fall asleep in the cargo hold like it doesn't matter, like you, this time that we've been given to make a difference, it doesn't make a difference. There will never be a redo on this part of your life. You can be in heaven for 40 billion years. And you can look back and say, man, if I could have those few years after I got saved until the time that Jesus came and got us, if I could have that back, all the rewards I could have saved up in heaven, all the souls that would be here with me now, oh, what a difference I could have made if I could get past this sin, if I could get past this fear, this anxiety, if I could just trust that God is able to do something great with my life. That's what God would say to all of us today. I'll close with this. Colossians 1:9 says, Apostle Paul says, so we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you a complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will learn to know God. You will grow as you learn to know God better and better. So don't despair where you are. If you've been headed to Tarshish, repent, turn around. Say, Holy Spirit, where do you want to take my life? Just turn around. This is the first day of the rest of your life. This is the starting point for today. And His mercy is new every day. So you just keep getting up and you just keep moving towards God. And those sins and those weights that so easily beset us that the Bible talks about will begin to fall off of you. You will begin to overcome. And I've got probably about 8 more huge things that's going to help us to begin to address the weights that are dragging us down in the sin that is bringing darkness into what should be a temple of light.
Thanks for listening to the podcast today. We hope you enjoyed it and that it inspires you to live out God's Word. For more information, visit us at www.mypassion.church.